Today I'm going to speak on the faith of Moses, part two. I've already mentioned the first part concerning his parents, and today concerning Moses himself. We all know that Moses was chosen by God to be the leader of the children of Israel, and his main task was to lead them out of Egypt and also to bring them into the promised land. When he was born, his parents showed their faith in God by hiding him for 3 months. They were not afraid of the king's commandment, stipulating that all male or Hebrew male babies should be thrown into the river. They perceived that Moses was no ordinary child, perhaps would be used by God for his promise. When Moses was 3 months old, the daughter of Pharaoh adopted him. After she found him in a basket by the riverside, she assigned the early childhood of Moses to the care of his natural mother. But officially, Moses was her rightful son. His natural mother taught him the great truths of God and his heritage. Later, he was taken to live in the palace. Moses lived for 40 years as a prince in Egypt. Now, we all know that Egypt at that time was a superpower nation, a nation that had immense prestige, power and wealth, and a highly cultured society. In such an environment, Moses had all the advantages that any young man would desire. Furthermore, Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians and was a man of power in words and also in deeds. According to Acts chapter 7, verse 22, here it says, Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptian and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, he was known by the royal designation as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we consider his life in the palace. For 40 years, Moses was a prince of Egypt. He was highly educated and skilled in many things, as well as being part of the royal family. He had everything in life, every comfort and every wish fulfilled. All these are things and blessings that every man desires and seeks for. Furthermore, as a prince in Egypt, he would have certain amount of honor and respect. Now, if you are born in the right family with good standing in the society, the world will think of you as great, whether you really are or not. If you have a lot of money, regardless of how you got it, the world will hold you in high regard. This is the kind of world that we live. Needless to say, as a prince, Moses had most of these things. On the other hand, Moses knew his roots. He knew that his parents were Israelites, slaves, and being afflicted. Somehow, God has indicated to him that he had been chosen for special service. Therefore, he knew that he had a mission to perform for God and for his people. In Acts chapter 7, verse 25, the people of Israel, however, did not understand his mission, but Moses did. In order to be an Israelite and to serve the Lord, he must identify himself with God's people. So when Moses was 40 years old, he was at the crossroad of life. He had to choose between the two, the privileges of Egypt, or to identify himself with the people and carry out the mission God had chosen him. Now next we come to the Moses identification mentioned in verse 24 to 26. Now the text here says 23 is wrong. 24 is a typo error. All right, let's read verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, there is a time lapse of 40 years between Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 and 24 to 26. That's a lapse of 40 years. Hebrews 11, 24, we see how Moses identified with the children of Israel by faith. And here he says, by faith, he refused to be known as the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. My friend, Moses knew what he was doing. He was a matured man of 40 years of age. As such, he publicly renounced his title as the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. In so doing, he was committed a grievous and dangerous insult to Pharaoh. Isn't it? If you denounce your father, I think your father will get angry with you. And this is the case. True faith will reject what is against the will of God and whatever tradition cares for. Now, all believers can love their tradition, their culture. And there is much to love in our culture. But they must refuse to be identified with godless or the spirit of the world. That is, those things that are against the will of God. We must against it. And so by faith, Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Now I must say one thing. Not everything in Egypt is sinful. Not everything in Egypt is sinful. Decades earlier, Joseph had many material things in Egypt. He served Pharaoh while remaining obedient to the Lord. That was not sinful, because that was God's purpose for him to be there. You see? So whenever you mention Egypt, please don't think that it's bad, it's sinful. Not always the case, according to the context. And here we see that. But Moses, it's a different case. Moses had a special calling from God, which required his identification with God's people and to serve them. And so when he saw an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew, he had to make a choice to choose his identification. And so by faith, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now the verb literally means to have bad times with, okay? Sumta kao chisatai, okay? Means to have bad times with. That is, he chose bad times over the good times. from the human perspective of financial enjoyment and security. If Moses had done nothing when he saw someone was bullying, mistreating his own people, and when he had done nothing, what happened? He could have enjoyed the pleasure of sin for a season. You know? To do nothing is wrong in this case. You see, he could enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So by his action, Moses officially denied his Egyptian alignment and identification with God's people. And so in verse 26, let's just read verse 26, Hebrews 11, 26, ready, go. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respected unto the recompense of the reward. All right, I must explain this a little bit. Huh? Now the link of Moses with Christ here in this passage is unexpected. It's unexpected. Some have understood this to mean that Moses suffered the same kind of insult as Jesus had to endure. My friend, this does not seem to be what the author is saying. But I believe that the author is thinking along the line of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, which says, in all their distress, he refers to God, too was distressed. In other words, God identified with his people so that he is one with them when they suffer. This is what the author has in mind in this line. Paul had the idea of the pre-existence of Christ when he spoke of him as a rock that accompanied Israel during their wilderness journey. Paul also had that kind of thoughts. And the author of Hebrews had the same idea. He thinks of Christ as the same yesterday as today. He had always been one with God's people. And so when Moses was insulted, it was not only God was insulted, but also for Christ's sake. Christ was insulted. Now this is an important telling point for the author. He's saying his reader, he's calling his reader to stand with Christ. And he can say that Moses did this many century years ago. Therefore, we must also do the same as Moses had done. Now, Moses knew what the treasure of Egypt were. He had been brought up in Pharaoh's palace and had everything his heart desired materially. He had the things that the world held dearly. He must have been strongly tempted to hold on to them because they are so precious as far as man's point of view is concerned. There must be certain temptation, but he did not. And here he says, verse 26 comes in, says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. Now, what is the word esteeming means? The word esteeming here in Greek means considering, which involves careful thought, not a quick decision. In other words, Moses weighed the pros and the cons of what Egypt had to offer against what God offered. And when he reached a conclusion, it was well-founded and certain that God's offer was far superior in every way. And he is willing to identify with God's people and to suffer reproach, including ridiculed and persecuted for Christ's sake. And this show his loyalty to Christ. As Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says. 2 Timothy 3, 12 says, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So my friend, if you live for Christ in this world, follow his will, follow his way, follow the will of God, you may encounter this kind of problems. And so Moses did. He knew that God will reward him and also for all God's people. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, last part says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The word had respect means he was looking away from. He was looking away from all those things that attracted him. Tried to hold him from following the word, the will of God. He looked, turned his head around. And so Moses looked forward. Moses turned his eyes away from the earthly treasure to the heavenly reward. He knew God's reward is far richer, far greater, and lasting than the house of Pharaoh. He knew. So the author of Hebrews exhorted us to do as Moses had done. You see the point there? And so that's how the author wants us to do the same thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught us the same thing. You remember the passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21? I think we read these verses together. It is in your notes here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Ready, go. Lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth. So here, when it comes to this kind of thing, there is an important decision for us to decide. Will you choose the temporary treasure and pressure of the world? Or will we choose those things that are of eternal value? So when it comes to this, we have to choose. Remember what Jesus says in verse 21. You know what he says? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So this is a thing that the Lord wants us to remember. Now we come to the next point, verse 27. Here we read that Moses forsook Egypt and fled to Midian. Now actually there's a little problem here in the interpretation. But let me explain what are the problems here and how to solve it. First of all, the problem is this. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 14, says, and Moses feared. And verse 15 says that Moses, because of his fear, he fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. All right, that's in the account of Exodus chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Because he was afraid of Pharaoh, therefore he fled to Midian. And that's what we learn a lot from the Sunday school books and so forth, right? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, we read something different. What do we read? Here it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing. See, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So, you know, Exodus says fear. Hebrews say not fearing. Who is right? Who is right? My friend, both are right. Both are right. There's no contradiction here. Of course, when the writer of Egypt wrote that Moses feared, therefore he fled. It's true. Humanly, it's true. When you kill someone, of course you run. It's true. But the Hebrews account telling us fear of vengeance from Pharaoh was not the real motive behind his fright. There's a reason behind why he ran away. Is it? How do we know? You read carefully verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 11. For he endured as seeing him, seeing God who is invisible. What does that mean? That is to say, he recognized it was not yet God's time for deliverance. All right? The people were not ready to accept him. And he had to endure. He had to wait for God's time to act. And so he went to Midian and wait. Now, to view Moses' action in this light is to see that when he went out of Egypt, it was by faith. Moses kept his eyes on the Lord, kept his eyes on him who is invisible, and waiting for his guidance to move forward to the promised land. I hope you get the idea here, the interpretation here. And so we know that he stayed in Midian for 40 years. When the time was ripe, God called and sent Moses to Egypt to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. God promised to be with him and to teach him what he should do and also to give him the power to perform miracles. God prepared all these things for him, to help him, to assist him. Moses accepted God's provision and promise and came to Egypt. Now we all know the last of the 10 plagues that secured Israel's exodus from Egypt was the destruction of all male firstborn of both men and beasts. Whether Egyptian or whoever stays in Egypt, all would die. God's going to kill all of them. However, God provided a way of salvation for his people. Only his people know the way of salvation. And the Lord instructed the families of Israel through Moses to slaughter a lamb, take some hyssop and dip into the lamb's blood and dab the blood on the top and on both sides of the doorways of their homes. The homes that were anointed would be under God's protection because God promised to protect them, and the destroyer would not permit to enter to kill the firstborn in the home. And so the author says in verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The point is that Moses and Israel believed every word that God said. When God said, you do this, they follow. They never question. And they were saved by faith in believing in the word of God. The nation of Israel and Moses trusted God and also passed through the water of the parted Red Sea on the dry riverbed. They believed the water would not collapse upon them. When the Egyptians attempted to pursue the Israelites through the same passage, what happened? They perished by drowning. The Israelites and Moses exercised faith and God preserved them. For all who are faithful and obedient, God's word, my friend, is always enough. When God says He will do this, He will do it. He will keep to His word. But the question is this: what kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you have? When God asks you to do certain things, what kind of faith do you have? And this is a challenge to all of us. I want to assure you that God always keeps His promise. And may all of us have this faith and trust in the Word of God. So in closing, we are singing hymn 214, Standing on the Promises of God. 214.